All right. Well, we're here to learn more about how to manage our emotions. You know, yeah. You know, it's really, really important that we know who we are in Christ. And a lot of the reasons that people fall away from the body of Christ is because they haven't learned who they are. Even though they're going to church, even though they're hearing the word and stuff, they don't really know that they belong to the body of Christ. They don't really know what that means to be a child of God. They don't really understand the fullness of what their salvation gives them. And because of that, they get thrown off. They have people come along that are able to convince them that God isn't there for them, that they'd be better off if they didn't serve God, because they don't really know who they are in Christ. And until they learn that, they're not really going to be able to stand fast when the enemy comes at them. You know, I don't care who you are, if you're at a weak point in your ministry, and you could be in ministry for years, and you get to a weak point in your ministry, and the devil comes at you, and he tries to attack you in your emotions, telling you, see, you've been doing this all this time, and people don't care. What are you doing this for anyhow? What's it gotten you? And he starts throwing this stuff at you, and if you're not careful, because you're already at a low point, your emotions are going to kick in, and they're going to start saying, yeah, why am I even doing this? I might as well just quit. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know that it doesn't matter if I see anything here or not. I got a home in glory filled with treasures for me. You know, I'm not here to see what I can get from God. I'm here to serve Him. All the blessings are just extra bonuses. Okay, that's just good jobs. You know, pat me on the back, say, good job, servant. Yeah, and I just keep on going. I don't do it expecting. And it's funny, you know, because I heard somebody saying, I don't go to church, and they said, you know, when you bless somebody else, not expecting to get a return, it comes quicker back to you than if you give constantly with the thought of having a return. You're going to wait a lot longer if that's why you're giving. Okay? If you're just giving to see what you get back, you're going to wait a long time. But when you give into God's kingdom, you get blessing after blessing after blessing. You may not realize it. You may not understand it, but things are happening in your life that you never even thought to ask for, that is making your standing so much better and making it more easier for you to be able to do what you need to do. And God provides those things that we don't even know to ask. Okay, so a lot of times we don't see them as blessings because we never thought of them. But they are indeed blessings, okay? And this is, and you know, it's one of the good things. Now, it's necessary to get into our word every day, to hear some kind of the word every day, spend some time with it, get to know what it says, and then you're going to find that as you get into it and you see what it says and you do it more than once, you know, because some people say, well, I read the Bible from back cover to cover. Okay, read it again. Okay? You know how many times I watch a movie or read a book, and every time I see it or read it, I catch something that I missed the first time around. So read it again. Maybe not from cover to cover, but pinpick the places that you want to dwell into and see what it says, and dig further into it. You know, spend time in it. So don't just read it and say, oh, that was a nice story, but say, I wonder what really happened before that. Let's see if I can find it out. Research and go back and see what caused things to come about that you just read about. And you'll find out that it's really an interesting story if you read as it connects together. And you read the Bible, you never think that we would watch a movie called The Ten Commandments. That would be so interesting, would you? Okay? But it's a lot of the Bible, okay? When you see pictures of movies about Noah and the Ark and the things that happened and everything, you know, you don't really, unless you got a good imagination, when you first read through it, you don't visualize things like that. You know, you think, boy, that's a lot of water. Gee, that's a lot of stench and a lot of animals. But you don't really think about what it's actually like, the things that are going on and stuff, until you actually see it, you know? And so it's interesting that, you know, we have to get into our word daily in some way. So maybe you can't pick up your word and read every day, but you can listen to Christian programs on the radio on your way to work. You can listen to, you know, all kinds of different things on the TV set if you just have time to, like while you're making dinner, turn on the TV and listen to it in the background or whatever. There's ways that you can feed your spirit man, whether you have time or not. A lot of people swear by the fact that if I go to bed with Christian music or the word playing while I'm sleeping, I wake up and I'm a different, I feel different than when I don't have it. I swear by it. It makes all the difference in the world, in their bedroom and the rest that they get that night and the attitude that they have when they get up in the morning. It just changes their whole, you know, outlook on things. So, you know, there's all kinds of way that we can feed our spirit man. Coming together in the church is called for because he wants us to fellowship one with another and not forget there's others out there struggling just like we are. You know, if we sit at home all by ourselves, we don't see other people's struggles, do we? We don't know what other people are going through and that other people are having hard times too. It's better when we know where there's more than just one person in this boat together, okay? At least we can all struggle together and help each other stay afloat. But when you feel like you're the only one out there and you're all alone and nobody cares and nobody knows and, you know, what's the use? Then the devil can come in and he can use your emotions to take you under. So, you know, when we read his word and when we get it deep within us, what it really says, what it really means to us, then we're going to really know what his ways are. And we're going to understand why he does things the way he does. Can I explain to you? No. I just understand that that's God's ways and I'm not. Okay, some of the things that people who are godly and hear from God do, I don't know why they do them, okay? But God told them to do them, and they do them, and it works. Okay, that's what I want to get to. It works. You know, and we go, oh, gee, that's a little strange, but okay. You know, when they spit in the blind man's eye. You know, tell me to spit in someone's eye, I'm going to say, are you kidding me? Really? I don't even spit, Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to argue that, but yet the man spit in his eye and it worked. So, you know, we have to be willing to know that it doesn't matter whether we understand him or not. What matters is that we know his way is a good way. His way always works and it always benefits us. And we need to know that. And sometimes it gets a little hard. And then we just have to remind ourselves that we're still eaglets. We're still in that little eggshell. We're still trying to pick our way out. Okay, and the struggle makes us strong, okay? What doesn't kill us makes us stronger, okay? And as long as you don't let the enemy destroy you, you'll come out stronger. But the enemy is going to attack you any time that you try to do something for God. The minute you stick your foot out, he's going to try to snap you back in line because he doesn't want you to make any headway at all. For every foot you take forward, he loses 10. So, you know, he really fights you. And you got to understand when he fights you like that, to say, okay, devil, I don't care what you do. I'm going anyhow. Okay? I see you on the other side. Just keep right on moving. Because he wants you to stop. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. Because when you do, you haven't just quit on yourself. You quit on God. You said God isn't enough. God doesn't work. God isn't what I need. Okay, so it seems like such a simple thing to give in to him, to give in to his temptations. But when you do, it means so much more than that. So, you know, a lot of times people are unwilling to do what's needed to receive the help they need. And that's, you know, a sad thing because some people really need help. But they have in their mind's eye one way that God's going to help them, and they turn aside everything else because that's not what I want. But it's not about what you want, because what you want isn't going to get you what you want. Okay? Did you get that? What you want is not going to get you what you want. You know, we all want certain things in our life, and we think we can get them certain ways, but it don't work. You have to do things God's way if you want things to turn out right. Teresa's way doesn't work, surely. Teresa gets stubborn and hard-headed sometimes, and I want to do it my way, but my way doesn't work. And I've become very good at stepping back, sitting down on my hands, and keeping my mouth shut. But all I want to do is jump up and down, yell, scream, and punch. Okay? And it's just one of those things that you have to learn. It's not my emotions that are in control. God's in control. When I let my emotions get the best of me, it always causes me trouble. Always. Sometimes worse than others. You know, the simplest thing about helping yourself is reading your word, learning who you are in Christ. Because as long as you don't know who you are in Christ, the devil's going to be able to deceive you at every turn. You know, people want to be delivered. You can't be delivered until you know who Christ is, the deliverer. If you don't know the deliverer, he can't deliver you. If you don't know what he did for you and what he stands for and what he gave up and sacrificed, how can you believe in it? How can he take those things from you that you don't know about? Because you don't know who he is. And you don't know what he did in his time. And you don't know what he's called his children to do. So all you hear is you hear some rustle in the wind. And you follow the rustle and say, deliver me. It doesn't work. There are certain things that we have to do in order for God to help us. One of the most important things that people neglect is getting into his word. I'm not saying you have to constantly read it. But you have to get it into your spirit man in one way or the other. It can be through music. It can be through programs on TV, programs on the air. It doesn't matter. You can talk to friends about God. You can go to Bible studies. You can go to prayer meetings. You can do whatever. But you need to keep God foremost in your life every day. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that God doesn't enter your mind at least a half dozen times or more. And really, it should be more. But at least a half dozen times or more. Okay? Sometimes we get really busy and we don't have time to think about nothing. Okay? And I can go through an 8-hour period and not have time to think about nothing. So, except for what's right in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Get to the bathroom and go, oh God. So you think about it then. You have a moment then, you know. But you know, this is the way we are. But we need to have him in our lives. He has to be part of us. If he's not part of us, then we don't have him. You know, when I look out at the sky sometimes and I see how pretty it looks and everything, I just thank God all over the place for that beautiful sunrise, for that beautiful sunset, for that beautiful scenery before me, whether it be trees, ocean, fields, or whatever it is. If it's pretty and I like it, I thank God that it's there for me to see. How many of you do that? You know, very few people take the time to say, oh, thank you, God. It's so beautiful. I'm so glad you created all this stuff just for me so I could see its beauty and know of its beauty. You hear the birds singing. Thank you, God, for them birds. Birds song so pretty. I put bird feed out and stuff just so I can watch them. They're so neat to watch. You know what I'm saying? And thank you, God, for giving me this thing that I can enjoy in my life. You know, and someplace that I can focus besides me. Taking care of the little creatures. You know, God takes care of the birds through us. A lot of times it's through us. So, you know, a lot of people, though, don't want to give him that time, don't want to make him that kind of friend. And that's what you really need to do if you're going to get this thing right. If you're going to manage to make it through, is you got to make him your friend. You got to make him your confidant. You got to make him the first person you turn to in the morning, the last person you speak to at night. You know, how many of you gotten to sleep and had a dream about God instead of the guy in school that you saw at the yacht was at home, you know, or wherever, you know? And even for adults see people that are single too, and they and they have dreams and stuff about them, just like young people do and stuff. But how many of us get to sleep and dream about God? Being carried away in a chariot with him or something. You know? I mean, you know, it's when you get him that deep into your spirit, man, that's what it is. He becomes your all. And he's everything to you. And he means everything. And nothing is anything without him. But if you don't know him and who you are in him, he's none of that. You feel none of that. And people don't understand that, you know, a relationship takes time to build. It's not instantaneous. And when you build your relationship with God, you build it by spending time in his word. You build it by spending time with him, by doing the things that he's asked you to do, by being the things that he's asking you to be. And that's how we build our relationship with him. If we don't have a relationship with him, we're not going to survive. I can't do it on my own. I'm not capable or able. Wouldn't have the know-how, the want-to, or anything else. It's only through Christ. I say, okay, Teresa, pull yourself up. You can do one more time. Come on. The day isn't over yet. Fat lady ain't sang. We got to keep going. And I pull myself up and I make myself go. And I go, one more step, Lord. One more step. Go one more step. And this is what we do when we know who we are in Christ. And we know that all we got to do is get up and put the effort into making that next step. And he'll take us the rest of the way. The Bible plainly teaches us that if we learn and act on the Word of God, then God's going to bless our lives. And we read that and we say, oh, thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And we forget that we're supposed to learn and act on the Word. If we don't learn who He is and act on what we know, then we can't be blessed. That's like throwing out feed to somebody that can't eat it. Okay. No, I was trying to think of an animal that wouldn't eat a certain type of food. It wouldn't come to me. But, you know, it's like throwing down, I don't know, something to an animal it won't eat. You're wasting that food. You need to be able to eat what the word is and get it inside of you and let it nourish you and let it make you grow strong. Because that's what it does. You know, we're supposed to live in peace and harmony with others. To forgive those who have done us wrong, how many of us hold grudges? If you're holding grudges, you're in a bad place with God. He tells us we're supposed to forgive. You want that forgiveness, don't you? I want that forgiveness. I really do, and I'm very quick to forgive people and to let things go because, you know, it ain't going to do nothing but give me an ulcer or whatever, and I don't need it, and, you know, I'm sorry. God bless you. That's what he tells us to do. He says to bless your enemies. That's what he tells us. Not to curse them. Not to seek revenge. Not to be mad at them and hate them and everything else. That's useless. It's nothing. It's your emotions at work. Okay? So, for example, you know, if we refuse to do just that, live in peace and harmony with other people, how are we ever really going to be happy? You ever try to be happy when you're so busy making everyone else miserable that you don't know what happiness is? People do it all the time, you know, and they think, you know, that, and some people do it just by being religious, okay? They constantly beat people down with the word. The word isn't supposed to beat you down. Supposed to make you go, ooh, I need to fix that. Okay? It's not supposed to make you feel so low that you can't get up and do anything. So, you know, if we don't do what we can do, then God can't do what he wants to do for us. So when God tells us to live in peace and harmony, then when people offend us, and it's not for us to go around being all indignant and upset about it and carry on about it and everything else. But what we need to do is we need to shut our lips and say, thank you, Lord. Bless them. Go on about our business because, you know, what happens in the other realm is that we go into our emotions. Our emotions start managing us. And we start talking about people. And we become gossips. We become what I call haters. Okay? Hater. always disking somebody, always judging somebody. I found a little sign this last weekend, and a weekend I gave it to my mom. You'll probably see it show up somewhere. It says, "Don't let me catch you judging someone else because they decide to sin differently than you." And it's true. You know, we're all out there judging each other, but why are we judging anyone when we ourselves have sin? God said, let the first one that has no sin cast stone. Okay, if you got sin in your life, shut your lip. Okay? You have no right, no place to judge other people. We may not think that it's the greatest choices that they're making and everything else, but that gives us no place to put curses on their life and keep them from being able to be something other than what they've become. Because, you know, a lot of times when people are there anyhow and we do those things, what happens? The people we're doing them to says, well, I might as well be this because after all, that's what everyone expects me to be anyhow. And we just shove them right down in that hole. The lid on, screw it a couple times, keep them in there. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do. God didn't tell us to do that to each other. So, if we will do what we can do, then God will do for us what we can't do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And, you know, and I was telling my son that the other day, for someone that's got so many issues himself, he's sure quick to judge other people. You know, and people are like that. You know, they're the last person that should be saying anything about anyone, but they're the first person that will. So, you know, these are things that are poisonous to us. It's like poison in our systems. So we need to, you know, do what we can do about forgiving. And what we can't do, we got to put in God's hands and let Him handle. Sometimes we don't always do what we're told to do in the Word of God because it's hard to act on that Word instead of acting according to our feelings. You know, a lot of times people will tell me, well, why didn't you just tell them off? I wouldn't have put up with that and stuff like that. Well, the reason I didn't is because God within me said no. God within me said, keep quiet. God within me said, let their emotions rule them, not you. Okay? And this is what we got to do. We have to be willing to listen to that small, still voice that's telling us how to respond to what's going on around us. I know I was with someone the other day, and they were very upset and irate and stuff, and they kept carrying on, and I would just, well, you know, I'm terribly sorry, but, you know, I kept more or less telling them that, but it's your fault. Why are you yelling at everyone else? You know, and I didn't have it. I don't know what to tell you because I never even saw it this morning, had it in my hand, nothing. You were the one that had it, so what did you do with it? And so, you know, and every time I say something like that, he'd get hotter and hotter, and finally he said, oh, just shut up. You know, the thing was, he wasn't getting the response that he wanted. I just stayed calm and kept saying, but, you know, I don't know why you're angry with me. I don't know, and I'd ask questions, where did you have it last? You know, and when did you last see it? And so he's going, what? Well, see, you know more about it than I did because I never saw it. So, you know, and this is the way people are. They want you to just sit by and be their scapegoat and let them dump on you. And if you kind of hope, wait a minute, I don't like this. I don't have to put up with this. This is my space, and I'm not going to tolerate and talk to you like this because it's your fault. Okay? I'm tired of getting yelled at for something that you did. So just yell at yourself. I can't help if you're mad at yourself. Yell at yourself, not at me. You know? And it's hard for us sometimes to bite our tongue. Sometimes it's so easy to just back at them. Feels so good too. Okay? But only shortly. Then it bites us back. Okay? So we have to know if we let our emotions rule and reign, then they jump out there and we may feel satisfaction for a moment, then we got to live with that decision for a while. Okay? So we need to learn to submit. And, you know, a lot of people think that submission is a sign of weakness. It is not. It takes a very strong person to be able to submit themselves. I'm not talking about the little weakling, scaredy cat thing that's so petrified if you went, they jump out of their skin. Okay? There are people out there like that that have no problem submitting to anybody or anything. But that's because their spirit's been broke. But if you're strong in the Lord, you should be able to submit yourself because you know that in submission does not make you weak. There is strength in submission. I don't have to be in control. I don't have to be out front. I don't have to be number one and up on a pedestal to know who I am. I don't need man to pump me up and show me how good I am because I know who I am. There is strength in that. There is strength in saying, I can clean a toilet because it does not matter. I'm serving God in any way that He asks me to. It doesn't matter if I'm cleaning up behind people that are nasty as all get out after dinners and stuff that we throw in the church. It doesn't matter. You should do it with joy and blessings because you're able to. Because you have submitted yourself to be a servant. It shouldn't be a trial or a testimony for you. Some people like to offer up their assistance and things like that and then complain consistently about it, and they have cursed the whole situation because of their own emotions. You know, it's terrible to go to a place like, say, the March for Jesus or something and spend your time there around people who are negative and who want to destroy the whole mood of the day with their negativity. But it happens. I don't care where you go. You go to watch some big preacher and there's always one in the crowd that's going, he ain't real. They're faking that stuff. Don't you know they're faking that stuff? This stuff don't really happen. Isn't there always one? Everywhere. I don't care where you go, there's always somebody that wants to be the wet sock, that wants to make the whole thing go sour for everybody else. And the only thing I can tell you is, hey, get beyond them. Don't let them rain on your parade. You get what you came for from God. And let them be that old nasty, miserly guy that just is miserable. He can't be miserable by himself. He'll be miserable when he dies by himself, too. You know, that's what I always say, you know, gee, I hope they don't turn out to be lonely old men, lonely old women, because that's what I see in their future if they don't change their ways. Nobody will want nothing to do with them, and then they'll have good reason to be upset all the time. Because nobody called me. Well, I wouldn't call you either the way you act. Nobody ever comes to see me. Well, why should they? All they do is get chewed out when they're here. You know? And we want to know why not. Well, you make people want to be around you? Do you live in peace and harmony with them? Do you try to build them up? Are you constantly just dashing them against the rocks and saying, I don't care? You really have to look at where you go. Because in our emotional state, we do a lot of damage to other people around us. A lot of damage. Sometimes I just seem to cut out my tongue than to have to, you know, sit and think about the things I've said to people I shouldn't have said. Yeah, because I don't care how many times I say, I didn't mean that, I was just mad. It doesn't make the hurt go away. It doesn't take away that tearing of the heart. It doesn't take away that pain that's set deep. And now I've opened a door for a spirit to come into them. And that's on my hands. That's on my head. And then I find myself praying for them constantly, oh God, please just remove any kind of trauma that I caused them. Just remove any kind of pain or anything that I've just caused them. Don't let this be a doorway. Because we do. Because we let our emotions get the best of us. And in letting our emotions get the best of us, we do more work for the enemy than we ever do for God. We might do something really great for God, but then we turn around and do it all by destroying. You saved one, destroyed 10, okay? Is that really what you wanted to do? Is that really the track record you're looking for? And we don't see it. But standing at the sidelines watching people, you can see it. And you can see, okay, so they got this one blessed, but man, look what they just did to those. And you know, gee, this one was had money or whatever, and you know, they could get something out of this one, but those guys over there look pretty homeless to me, and I don't think they could have rubbed two pennies together between them, and they didn't have time for them. Yeah, that does something to you. Whether you're the person having it done to you or the person watching it being done, it does something to you. It truly does. So we have to understand that God wants us first off to live in peace and harmony. Do you have peace and harmony in your homes? That's where it starts, guys. Every one of us has work to do in that area. I don't know of any home that I know of that's full of peace and harmony. Okay? We're working at it, but I don't know too many that are there yet. Okay? So let's get the peace and harmony going. Because, you know, the better that mood that we're in at home, then we carry that out with us. When we have that godly, good feeling at home, then when we go out into the dark world, we take that light with us. But when we leave a dark home full of whatever, and go out to a dark world, we don't drag nothing with us. And we look just like everybody else. So, once again, if we're reading the Word, listening to the Word, getting that Word into our spirit, man, constantly and stuff, then it's going to come through. It's going to bleed through. It has to. Okay? It can't help it. It's going to fill you up till you overflow, and it's just going to run out of you. People will know it's there. You have to build that relationship. You have to spend that time. You got to give of yourself, submit yourself to just being in His presence. Yeah, I'm sorry. I lay down, and I'm the type of person, I get to bed at night. When I lay my head on the pillow, I'm out. My husband will attest to it. But what people don't know is before my brain clicks off, I've had my conversation with God, whether it's verbal, out loud, or to myself, silently or in my head, I've had my conversation with God before I drop. So, you know, it's what do you think of? It's the last thing on your mind at night. What do you think of in the morning when you get up? You know? Gee, God just blessed me with another day. Oh, God, here we go again. But either way, what'd you say? God? You know? Some mornings I get up and I'm pretty achy and I roll out of bed and go, oh, God, help me get through this one. You know, I mean, one way or the other, you're thinking about Him. So, you know, keep in mind, peace and harmony this week. Peace and harmony, shut down the lips. That little invisible zipper across them. At the lunch sign, hang it up. And just your emotions in check. Because really, Satan does throw people in your path intentionally to throw you off course. Don't let him do it. It's just as easy as turning around and smiling to someone that just chewed you out. I'm sorry I offended you.